Good morning. Let's pray and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can just be in your presence, Lord. And we look this morning at your glorious joy. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with glorious joy. Joy in knowing Christ. Joy in knowing who we are in Christ. Joy, Lord, of being a part of God's family. And I just pray, Lord, that you just remind us this morning of what it means to be a part of your family, to be a child of God. And again, Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you for just another opportunity this morning to worship and to serve you, Lord. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good morning again. Do you, everybody all right? Did you survive Thanksgiving? I'm still trying to recover from turkey, whatever that is. I think we're going to have turkey soup today. I'm going to make that. But that bird will be done. But I'm thankful. I got to visit with family, and I'm just glad. I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but we live in an amazing time. We really do. We live in an amazing time. I think we get kind of stuck on different things. I think that some of that's by design. Some of that is just because of our nature. But as Christians in 2020, we are blessed because we have an incredible, first of all, church history. I don't know if you've ever thought of it. I'm a student of church history. I love it. We could have 2,000 years we can look back at saints who have walked this earth, that lived lives, they lived amazing lives, they walked with God, they served God, they suffered for God, and they loved God. And we can examine their lives, and we can draw strength from it. I think about Lottie Moon, which we're going to start, you know, a mission drive here next week, you know, where we give money to international missions, and it's named after her. She dedicated her whole life to reaching the Chinese people. I mean, she went there, lived amongst them, and they rejected her outright. I mean, they called her cookies, devil cookies, but it was those cookies that would eventually grab the kids and grab the parents, and then she was able to reach them. She spent her whole life in trying to come back. She starved to death because at the time there's a great famine, and she starved to death literally on the ship trying to come back. But she spent her whole life, was dedicated to sharing Christ with the Chinese people. And I think it's amazing that we can look at her life and we can still see the impact that had on the Chinese people. Well, the church in China is still there. And it was people like her, not just her alone, but people like her that was trying to reach them. And we have history. We have examples of this over and over again, missionaries all over. And it's amazing to me. And we can look back on it, and we should be very thankful for that. We have the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God is still alive. It's still being read here in 2020. It's amazing. It's been around for 6,000 years that we know of. I mean, you stop and think about that for a moment. It's perfectly preserved the way that God intended it to be. I mean, we still have it. And I think today with the modern translations that we have, we're closer to the originals than we've ever been before. I mean, it's pretty exciting times if you look at and study that. It's amazing to me. We have the closer to the originals. We have means in 2020 to deliver the gospel all over the world. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but we can reach people now more than we've ever been able to reach before. I mean, with the expansion of technology, Jesus and the gospel is being made known to people who have never even heard of him before. And it's amazing because it's being done through the internet. It's being done through, it's in their phones that they're buying. They're finding Jesus in their phones. They're finding him on their laptop. They're finding him in places. I mean, I can tell you story after story, especially like in the Middle East where Christians are being converted because of the internet, because they're being able to access this stuff. And I can even tell you, like I was reading one story, how this Christians over there, they're converting because at night you know, they all meet and they have dinner and they have their time, and then they go onto the internet and they're secretly becoming Christ followers. And then they find out about these meetings and they go to these secret meetings, right? And they go there and guess what they find? Other family members. Family members in their old house are also going to the meeting. They're in their own house, they didn't talk about it, but they go to a meeting and they find mom and dad there. They find other believers in their own house, but they're so afraid of the talk of it because of the way the culture is. And that's happening in the Middle East. And I think that's amazing. I mean, those are opportunities that we've never had before. I think we live in an exciting time, and we're called to a time of this. This is our time and place. This morning's message is titled, Glorious Joy. And we're going to look at 1 Peter verses 10 through 12. But I'm going to read the whole passage when we get there. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I love 1 Peter, if you don't know that. It's one of my favorite books. That and Philippians, I think I get more from than any other book. It's really shaped a lot of my thinking. 1 Peter, when I got to preach through it, every time I still read it, it's just amazing because it's so densely packed with stuff as Peter. As we start the Christmas season, we're going to look at the coming Christ, the Messiah, and the glories, as Peter says, that followed the coming of the Messiah. And we as Christians, we have a lot to be joyful for. Even this time of COVID, elections, and everything else that's going on in the world, if we stay focused upon Jesus Christ, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be joyous about. So let's read 1 Peter, and I'm going to read the first 12 verses just to keep everything in context because, you know, that's very important. We don't want to take verses out of context. So I'm going to read the first 12 verses. And this is from the Christian Standard Bible. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, starting in verse 1, to those chosen, living as exiles, dispersed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient and to be sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus. Because of his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which is perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Through him, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you have not seen him now, you believe in him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, this is what we're going to focus on. The prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you, searching carefully, investigated. They inquired into what time or what the circumstances of the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. These things are now being announced to you, through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. Peter is writing to believers who are dispersed, and he calls them exiles. You just think about it. In a lot of ways, you and I are exiles. Because our home is not here. Our home is in heaven with God. So he calls them exiles. And there are people without a home. They have no place where they belong or they can call their own. They're outcasts because of their faith. And they are suffering and they're continuing to suffer for their faith. This letter is designed to encourage them. It's designed to lift their heads up and to look towards the throne of grace and to draw strength from God. That's what this letter is all about. And in fact, 1 Peter 5:10 says this. This is kind of like sums up this letter. The God of all grace, who's called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, strengthen, support you after you have suffered a little while. Peter gives them hope. And I hope that you can see the hope that is in that. And one of the reasons that he gives them hope is because he's looking into the fact that they are a chosen people. I mean, God did that with the Israelites, and he does that with us, that we are his chosen people. 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5 says this, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God. You might be rejected by the world, but you're chosen by God. You yourselves, as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built into a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I don't know if you thought about that, but God has chosen them, and he's chosen us to be his people, and they have a purpose. They have a purpose. You and I have a purpose. They are to be God's ambassadors. That's what Peter's saying. They're to be God's ambassadors, to be the temple where God resides through the Holy Spirit and God's people in the world. This temple is not made of stone and it's not fixed in a position on a map. Remember, that temple was destroyed in 70 AD. That temple no longer exists. But now the temple of God is a living temple made up of flesh and blood. And it is filled with the Holy Spirit. God's presence still resides there in this temple. But now it's made up of Christians, living stones, Peter calls us. This temple is mobile and it spreads out throughout the world. And you just think about that for a minute. The temple used to be in one place, you had to go there. Now the temple's everywhere. The temple's right here in Rockland, California. God's presence in the temple is everywhere. It's amazing to me. You are a part of that temple. You are a part of that temple, and you are a part of it because of God's grace. Because of God's grace. Had nothing to do with you or your special ability or anything that you had. It is simply because God chose you, loved you as a child of God from the foundations of the world. I mean, he knew from the foundation of the world who you were, and the part that you would play in the temple of God and taking the message, the gospel to the world. He is with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you, the Bible tells you. By God's great mercy, you have been given a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection. It's not a dead hope, it's a living hope, because Christ lives. He's alive. He's not a dead Savior. He's a living Savior, and we have a living hope because our hope is not in us, but it is in Jesus Christ himself. This new birth is a noble birth. I don't know if you ever thought of yourself as a noble, somebody is high and esteemed, but you are. It's a noble birth, and you are given an inheritance that is waiting for you. It is waiting for you. It is imperishable. It means it can never be destroyed. It's an inheritance that can never be destroyed. It's indestructible. It's imperishable. It is undefiled. There's nothing that you can do to defile it. It is undefiled because it is sprinkled clean by the blood of Jesus Christ himself. It is holy and without blemish. It is perfect in every way. Amen? All right, just make sure you're alive out there. It is unfading. It is unfading. It does not slowly dissipate or disappear over time. It's unfading. And it's being kept in heaven for you, protected by God's power, His unlimited power. So it's not for you to hang on to. It's not for you to protect and keep. It's being protected by God Himself. It's guarded by the King. And it's being held on to the day that His Son returns and restores all things and makes all things new. And this is the part of the glories that would follow that Peter talks about. For years, the prophets of the Old Testament, and you can see it if you read through the Old Testament, you can see prophets talking about things that are to come, but they can't really see everything that is to come. They see parts of it. It's kind of like, if you can imagine, like a mountain range, and you're looking at a mountain range, and you can see the first mountain, and you can see the mountains behind it, and they're talking about things that they can see that are coming in the near future, and they can also see this glorious king. They can see this kingdom off in the distance. They can see all these great things that are coming, but they can't see the valleys in between the mountains. All they can see is the tops of the mountains. They can see these things are all coming. And so when they write, you can kind of see them sometimes blend things in that are happening right now with things that are mixed in the future. But they can't see the times. And they're always trying to figure out, like, when's this going to happen? When's this going to come? And they kind of blur these things all in. But we can see that they could see a future king, and they knew that he would hold the scepter of power that would never leave his hands. And we see them write about that several times. They could see that the prophet who would come and be like Moses. Remember, God told Moses, there's going to be a prophet that's going to be raised up who's like you, and that you should listen to him. So that was pointing towards a Messiah. They could see one who would sit on King David's throne forever. Remember, God made that promise to King David. And all through, you can see the prophets talk about this coming Messiah, this king who would sit forever on David's throne, that he's coming. The one who would come and he would restore God's kingdom. And they wrote about him because they could see him off in the distance. And they knew that he would rule as God's king. And in Isaiah, you can hear him, he's called the servant who would come. And several times you hear Isaiah use this phrase, the servant. It's the king, he would say, the son who was given to us, and the government would rest on his shoulders. He would be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and his dominion will be vast and his prosperity will never end. That's what Isaiah wrote about him in Isaiah 9. And so we can see the prophets, we're all seeing this, and they're looking into the future, when the kingdom would be established. And the nation of Israel has been looking for this king ever since. They've been waiting for him to come. But first, the prophets also talked about that he would have to suffer. That he would have to suffer first. They kind of skipped over that part. But it's in there. And Jesus even reminds them that, you know, the whole Old Testament testifies about me, but I had to suffer first. He had to suffer first. He was to be despised and not valued, Isaiah says. Why? Because of our sin. Because of our sin. He would be pierced because of our rebellion. He was crushed because we are like sheep and we've all gone astray and we've all gone our own way and we have turned from God. Because of our rebellion against God, because of our sin against God, the Lord would punish him for our iniquity, Isaiah tells us. Jesus is the Messiah who was to come. He is the reason that you and I celebrate Christmas, because we're all waiting for this Messiah to come. And he came. The birth of our Savior who came to die for us. He came to live God's law perfectly. And that's exactly what he did. Because we will not live God's law, and we could not even if we wanted to. but Jesus did. He came to earth, born in a humble manger, lived and suffered for us in his life. He died upon the cross for our sin, and God poured out his wrath upon Jesus Christ. He suffered what we all deserve, but grace did by grace did not receive because of Christ. This was all foretold by the prophets, but it was not fully understood. Remember, it said that Peter said that they searched diligently, but they just could not understand it. They've seen all these things. They've wrote about them and they've read about them, but they couldn't grasp it. They couldn't see it. And it wasn't until Jesus died and was resurrected and ascended into heaven. It was only then when the Holy Spirit filled the apostles in the early church. And we just studied that in the book of Acts and how the Holy Spirit came upon them. And remember, Jesus even said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come, the teacher, and he'll teach you all things. He'll remind you of all things that I've said to you. And that they would write it down. And we know we have it because we can read it in the Gospels. It was only then when the Holy Spirit filled the apostles in the early church did they start to understand what Jesus had told them and taught them. Only did they understand of the glories in Christ that would come. They had the full picture. You know, I don't know what you think about that. And just stop and pause for a moment. We now have the complete picture. We today have the whole picture. We have the whole story. We can look at it and we can read it. We can read it in our Bibles because we have the what all the prophets wrote. And we have what the apostles wrote. We have it all. They never had that. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. The Old Testament never had the New Testament. They couldn't see everything that was fulfilled. And the New Testament, even the people who are writing it, as they were writing it down, just think of the average believer that was attending and being a part, they didn't have it because it hadn't been written yet. It was still being written down and it was being taught. But today, you have it all. You have the whole complete story. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Think about that for a moment. We have the whole complete story, and we have the Holy Spirit who indwells us. We have everything Peter says in 2 Peter to live holy and godly lives. We've been given everything. I don't know if you've ever paused and thought about that, because it should encourage you. Because we have what many Christians in the early church never had. They had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have all the writings. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the New Testament. They knew if Jesus was coming, and they only had the Spirit when God prompted on them and was moving in them to do something. We live in exciting times, it's amazing times. And why is this important? Why is this important for us to dwell on this? Why is it important for us to think about these things? Because it gives us hope. It should give us all hope, and it should greatly encourage all of us, especially in our suffering, when we suffer. Because when we suffer, we know, you know, you turn to God and you can feel, I can't imagine. I was thinking about this today. It was just all the COVID things. One of the things that's probably disturbed me the most is our older people, family members who are hospitalized and are going to pass away with nobody there. The intense loneliness that they're having. Because you can't go visit them. You can't go see them. I can't imagine what that would be like. And it's happening every day. And where's the hope in that? If I didn't have Christ, where would my hope be? Where would my hope be? But I turn and I know because we know Christ reigns. We know that the Holy Spirit testifies to our spirit that we're children of God, and that we can face any obstacle knowing that all things work to the good of those who are loved by who love God and are called according to his purpose. We can know that, and we can cling to that, and we can put our feet upon that, and we can stand up on that truth. That's the hope that we have. Corrie ten Boom, I don't know if you know who that is, but she was a daughter of a watchmaker in the Netherlands during World War II. Her family, they helped hide Jewish refugees as part of the Dutch resistance. You can read her story. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. And they hid Jews in the hiding place. It was a part of their house. And they would bring people in and they'd hide them in this. But eventually, neighbors and other people turned them in. Because that's what fascism and Nazi did. It turned everybody against everybody. And so they turned them in. And guess what? The family got arrested. And they got split up and they got sent to different prison camps. And they spent time in German prison camps. And they were a devout Christian family. And here's what she said. And you know, this is something that you and I probably haven't experienced. We don't know what this would be like. And yet here's what she said. She says, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. Right? If you look within, you'll be depressed. Right? Because you can't figure it out. You want to, and you think it's in here. It is not. If you look to God, you'll be at rest. You trust Him. You trust Him. As we find ourselves separated from loved ones, facing an uncertain future, we can rest assured, as Peter wrote at the end of Peter, the God of all grace, who's called you into His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. You know, I just think about Jesus. You know, a lot of people think that Christianity, you won't suffer. You know, you kind of, suffering stops. That's not what happens. Jesus said, in this world you will suffer. You will have trouble. But be encouraged, because I've overcome the world. You know, Jesus suffered in this world. And He says, because I suffer, you'll suffer. We've lived in a time in America where the Christian church in America has had an unprecedented time of peace. I mean, really think about it. We have not suffered at all for our faith. We think we have some persecution, but you know, you talk to somebody who's in China or India and have been tortured for their faith, or even in Eastern Bloc countries or Russia, and you can go a long history of Christians really suffering. We don't know anything about that. We might start experiencing some of that, though. And we should be prepared for that. And we should be looking to our hope, keeping our eyes upon Jesus. And through all this time, this is what I want to just encourage you with this morning, is to keep your focus upon Jesus Christ. Not to look around the world and get sucked into everything, but to look to Christ, to draw near to Christ, because that's what the world is going to need. Because in the midst of chaos, what the world is going to do is they're going to come and they're going to look for peace. They're going to look for the people who have peace and have joy. I mean, if you really want to know what side of the fence you're on, just look at a person who's joyous right now, because that's an oddball. There's something wrong with that guy. Why is he happy? Be that person. Because why are you happy and joyful? Because you know that I'm an exile in this world. I'm a refugee. I'm waiting to go home, but until I go home, I'm going to rest in inexpressible joy of knowing who my Savior is, knowing where my home is. I'm just waiting to get there. But it's okay. However long that takes, Lord, it's fine with me, because I rest in You. You're my strength. You're my support. You're the one who restores. You're the one who puts strength in my legs and keeps me moving forward. He's the one, not me, but Christ in me. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much that we can just be in Your presence, Lord. We thank You that You are the God of eternal glory, that You are the one who restores, establishes, strengthens, and supports us, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that You just be with us. I pray You would be with each and every one of us, Lord, that You would strengthen us, that You would watch over us, that You would protect us. And most of all, Lord, I pray that You would be with us to be a witness for You, Lord, that our joy would overflow, and others around us would see us, and they would ask for the hope that is in us, and we would give an answer, Lord, an answer of putting their faith in Jesus Christ as we have. An answer is Christ who died for us, was buried and rose again, and ascended and sits at the right hand of the throne of God. That is our hope. That's our living hope. That's where we place our faith in. And we're so thankful for Jesus. And we pray these things in His name. Amen.